Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today I'm here with my brother, mental game coach Dr. Patrick Cohn, and our special guest, Missy Clark, co-owner of North Run Show Stables. She and her husband work with some of the top young riders in the country, and Missy's going to talk about just how much pressure these young athletes face.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports. By visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com, you'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Missy, can you tell me a little bit about the kind of pressures your kids deal with every day?
Well, like any situation with competition, there's a lot of pressure to perform to the best of your abilities. There's pressures to excel at to the level that you're performing at, to succeed, to deal with your partnership of your horse, which is kind of like unlike any other sport that I'm familiar with, that you in as much as you have a partner that's another living entity that isn't a human being. So you've got to deal with their ups and their downs in addition to your own, and it adds a whole another dimension into the into the equation.
And there's also some danger.
There is danger, and that the that's certainly a good portion of the whole issue too, is that it's there's some people that maybe deal with a fear of a physical fear that they might get hurt, and they have to overcome that. And there's people that maybe have to deal with fear of winning, that they have to learn how to get past that. And there are a lot of variables, for sure.
Now, as I understand it, kids start earlier and earlier in this sport. Is that true?
They do. I mean, there are a lot of kids that begin on teeny little small ponies at a very young age, 7, 8, maybe even younger, and it's one of those, like anything in life, they either love it or they tend to walk away from it. If they've started that early, that they're either bitten by the horse bug, or they don't continue on, probably after a few years of learning how to ride. So,
Missy, do you spend much time actually interacting and working with the parents of the young riders?
We're on the road a lot. We travel from horse show to horse show, so I certainly get to know the parents, and we have a relationship. And sometimes I'll suggest to certain parents, depending on the student, that this one or that one might benefit from speaking with a sports psychologist. A lot of them have worked with sports psychologists, and so my role kind of goes to that extent. And then if they really need the psychologist input, that's something I'm not trained to do. However, I do employ a lot of psychology on a day-to-day basis of through my teaching and getting to know the personality of the student. Recognizing some need motivation through easing them into it. Others need it through a little more kick in the behind to get going. It depends on the kid.
Well, how do you deal with the pressure? What kind of psychology do you use? And then I'm going to ask Patrick what he would do.
Well, I, like anything, again, in life, it's doing it enough until it becomes routine. And I think that at the end of the day, has been my philosophy and what's worked. And you've got to have enough experience and enough mileage where you're walking into the national championship and it isn't your first time being in that arena performing in that event. And through experience, those students can gain confidence. And then there are other variables such as natural ability that factor into it too. I mean, there are some people that maybe will never get to the point where they're winning a national championship, but they still can gain pleasure and have their own goals of accomplishment to just have competed in it, perhaps. And that's maybe probably the hardest sell I have to parents and the student is you've got to recognize that fact and go on from there. I mean, that's a part of the game.
Now, Patrick, how would you deal with the pressure?
Well, Missy said a key word. She's talking about confidence. Obviously, confidence I call a cure-all. When you have confidence, it takes care of a lot of other issues. So, you know, there's less fear, I guess. From my understanding of eventing and equestrian from some of the riders and teams that I've worked with, it often is can be an intimidating situation, and there's quite a pecking order in that sport in terms of having to earn your dues. And some of the riders I've worked with, they have to deal with this intimidation, what I call self-intimidation, where they get intimidated by the reputation or this pecking order that's in the sport. And so you have to address that issue as well and get them to be able to focus on their stuff, as I call it, which means their warm-up, getting prepared and visualizing their run, et cetera, rather than making comparisons to other riders and getting self-intimidated.
Now, Missy, is that something that you see a lot?
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's kind of, from my end of it, you get through that with the experience thing that you, the more they get out in the arena and competing and understanding the sport and perfecting their skills, the more that dissipates and goes away. But that's not something that you can just have one conversation and put it to rest. They just have to work through it.
Now, Missy, you deal with some of the top riders in the country. Do they have any specific issues in terms of pressure?
Any mental game challenges? What are the top mental game challenges?
Well, I think staying on top of their game and the ability to handle the pressure and be a winner, that's something that some people can't do. They can never do it. I've had talented riders that at home, their practice and their warm-ups are a 10, and then they get in the show ring and they make mistakes because they can't get into that zone, whatever that zone is. There's some people. I had one student, probably the best student I've ever had in my career, who is probably one of the smartest people I've ever met and wasn't maybe the most naturally talented rider, but had such a great work ethic, and her mind was so conducive to psychology and all the things that it can do for you, that she went so far with her riding and had so many wonderful accomplishments and continues to be in the sport. But she could go in and compete and be on and do it when it counted every time. And she was remarkable. She worked a lot with the sports psychologist, but I think too, she had the type of brain that responded to that. I don't think that necessarily works for everybody.
And I'm interested in that. So you're saying she had an open mind?
She had an incredibly open mind and was so, she was like a sponge for things like that. But it was just all the variables for her, you know, worked in that way, I think, because she was so intelligent and she had an open mind and wanted to pursue that part, the mental aspect of her riding, and it worked for her.
That's a great example of how important the mental game is. Now, Patrick, we also talk in our workbook about how to deal with kids who can't quite step up to the plate during competition.
Yeah, I think Missy was alluding to that, is that there are what you call, they call them gamers in gymnastics, where they are able to step up to the plate in competition, where they actually shine, and they don't perform as well in practice. They perform the best in competition. They step it up a level, and that's the competitor you really want, as opposed to what Missy alluded to, is someone that trains hard and does great in practice, looks perfect in practice, and then they get in competition, and then they fall apart in competition for many different reasons. I mean, you could talk about pressure, but I mean, there's fear of failure, fear of embarrassment, there's intimidation. I mean, the list goes on and on. So what you have to do, I think, if someone has a block with that and they can't take their practice game to the arena, what you have to find out are what is holding them back. Is it a confidence issue? Is it a focusing issue? Are they intimidated? Is there fear of failure? Are they worried about what their trainer or their parents are going to think if they don't win or perform well? So, you know, my philosophy is you have to address, if there are any blocks, you have to address what those specific issues are, because everyone's a little bit different in how they experience pressure, and then how, you know, what mental game challenges are going to emerge from that.
Now, Missy, it sounds to me like you don't go quite as in-depth as Patrick is discussing, that you're more likely to just refer him to a sports psychologist.
For sure. No, I'm not trained in that field well enough, but I certainly can recognize when I feel that the sports psychologist should be pulled into the whole equation.
Now, Missy, can you tell me where you are right now? You're at the Winter Equestrian Festival. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we are. It's in Wellington, Florida, just outside of West Palm Beach, and we've been here since the end of November, and then there was a little bit of a break during December. The shows, this is the third show, just was completed on Sunday. The beginning of the fourth show starts on Wednesday. The shows run Wednesday through Sunday consecutively for 8 weeks, and probably one of the most intense times of the year as far as the grind. You know, every single day you're going, and the competition that is here is probably right now the top level competition of anywhere in the country. There are a few other simultaneous circuits going on, one in California, for instance, another smaller one in Ocala, Florida, but we've got top European riders here competing, Olympic gold medalists, and it's an interesting, amazing group of riders and horses.
Now, I'm curious, do you find that any of your students bring their sports psychologists along with them?
No, they don't. I mean, there's a couple people that are known in the horse industry that are sports psychologists, and my students usually access one person in particular. But people, no, they don't do that, I have to say, to my knowledge, that they come with their sports psychologist in tow.
It's not about hand-holding either, Missy. I think it's about teaching. I think it's about teaching kids and performers, educating them on the mental skills that they need to be successful. And from my philosophy and my perspective, it's not a situation where you have to be there and hold their hand. Although, you know, if you're working with someone, if you just start working with someone, it really helps to see what they're doing in competition, you know, see firsthand. But, you know, once again, it's not a hand-holding thing. It's educating them on, you know, how they can cope better with some of the competitive pressures.
Right, yeah.
Well, Missy, thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck at the festival.
Thank you.
And thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.
Be sure to visit youthsportspsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportspsychology.com.